I'm Jim Rome. I'm joined right now by an MLB Network insider, an NHL Network insider. You can watch John across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight, which is airing live before and after every single game, including on site at the World Series. He is John Morosi. John, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim Rome, it is always a pleasure to be with you, my friend, and I'm joining you now from Fenway Park. What a great sentence that is. I feel so lucky to be here. Beautiful day in Boston for some late afternoon baseball here in the month of October.
All right, so that's the way you set the scene. You're at Fenway. I love that. I want to get to the ALCS in a moment. But as somebody who has covered Cody Bellinger in the past, John, what did you think when you saw his home run last night for LA?
Jim, I thought that he, with one swing, erased all of the disappointment and difficulty of the season that preceded it. And the Dodgers now, as the reigning World Series champions, have moved to a place where, like the Yankees of the Jeter era, what they do from April to September matters a little bit, and then what happens in the most important at-bats of the year in October means everything. And with that one swing, Jim, he erased all of the criticism, all of the difficult moments he went through. That shoulder, in my view, has not really been sound all season long, but it looks sound to be able to turn around a fastball that high up in the zone for that moment at Dodger Stadium, my friend. What an electrifying time that was for the Dodgers. And now all of a sudden, that NLCS series is not quite level, but it's back to being a really intriguing seven-game set between the Dodgers and the Braves.
Extremely well said. John Morosi is joining us. John, as a quick follow, I want your thoughts on this, if you don't mind. We are talking about somebody who did struggle all season long, both with injuries and inherent struggles at the plate, but he's come through a number of times in clutch moments in the postseason. In your opinion, how do you explain the ability that some guys just have innately to deliver when it matters most, regardless of how much they have struggled prior to that moment?
You know, Jim, it's a great question, and it goes across sports. You think about how many times did we see Robert Horry hit a clutch shot in the NBA playoffs? It's that same thing where there are certain players who are often around winning and make those winning plays, and I really think it goes to the mentality. The mentality, especially in a sport like baseball. I think, Jim, in baseball it's more pronounced than any other sport because it is so mental. In basketball, in hockey, in football, for the most part, if you play really, really hard, and if you unleash an absolute torrent of passion and emotion, you will usually help your team. You cannot do that in baseball. You must, in fact, do the opposite. You must be able to slow the game down, and while, depending on what your role is, the person who is 60 feet, 6 inches away from you, if that person's mental process is speeding up, and if their anxiety level is raising up, and you can keep yours down at a modicum of that, you are probably going to have success and have that careful at-bat. We saw it even last night here at Fenway. Jason Castro, an 11-year veteran, coming back to the Astros off the bench. Now, he could have been rung up by the 2-2 pitch for sure, but he worked a very good at-bat, delivered for his team. And I look to those players. Derek Jeter's had it for a long time. Mookie Betts has had it for a long time. And even there are certain players like Kike Hernandez, who I think has really added to his experience with the Dodgers, and now we're seeing him flourish with the Boston Red Sox.
We are talking to John Morosi. He is at Fenway Park right now as we have this conversation. All right, so to that point, John, let me jump right to that. Red Sox fans would be very quick to tell you they got jammed badly on a potential third strike to Castro before everything exploded. What's your reaction when you hear that?
Well, a couple things. Number one, let's not forget, Jim, that the luck that they had on a very unique ground rule at Fenway Park against the Rays in the division series, but for a bounce, the Rays might have won Game 3, and we might be talking to you from Tropicana Field during this series because it was that close in terms of the way things played out there. So did they catch a tough break? Yes. They also benefited from a very unique ruling against the Rays, and so I do think that's part of the human element. It will continue to be part of the human element of the game unless and until we have the robot umps, quote-unquote, the automated strike zone. Laz Diaz, objectively, has not been one of the better ball and strike calling umpires in the major leagues. And there is no question, objectively, that that had an impact on the way Game 4 unfolded.
All right, so John, last night I thought you had a couple of prophetic tweets. One, quote, "Who is the Red Sox closer tonight? Good question. Boston has yet to record a save in this postseason." End of tweet. Alex Cora then goes with Nathan Eovaldi, who was ultimately charged with four runs and the loss. What did you make of that decision?
I didn't love it, to be honest, especially with the game tied at that point. And also, we're seeing this with the Dodgers, too. Sometimes when you use your starter in relief, you might get a lesser version of that starter later in the series when you really need him. Let's see what happens with the Dodgers and Scherzer and the Dodgers and Urias this evening. I'm just not sure the Red Sox had to go to Eovaldi in that situation with the game tied. I wonder what their confidence level is in Ansel Robles, their confidence level in Tanner Houck. These are decisions that certainly every manager has to make, but I really wonder, it's not just necessarily the performance of that pitcher that you're putting in the game, but what it communicates about your confidence level in the guys who have had that job in the bullpen all season long. So I understand, on one level, I love the aggressiveness that Alex Cora shows. He likes to have the quote-unquote spikes on. Everybody's, if you're not starting that game, you're ready in the bullpen. I just would like to see that utilized more when you have a lead as opposed to when the game is tied. I thought that Alex Cora still had some good tie game options back in the bullpen that he could have gone to instead of Eovaldi.
We are talking to John Morosi. He's at Fenway Park. We've got a couple of more moments with him. John, I'm curious. Like, you've covered postseason baseball for quite some time right now. Where do you come out on this? Like, Boston was a few outs away from taking a 3-1 series lead. Now they're tied up at two games apiece. Atlanta was a few outs away from pretty much icing that series with a 3-0 lead. How much do those losses leave a mark?
Well, Jim, it's a great point and a great question. And I'll say this, too. You go back, and years ago, 2005, NLCS, the Albert Pujols home run in Houston forces the sixth game. You would have thought, oh, my gosh, now the series is over. St. Louis is going to come all the way back. They're going back home. Well, Roy Oswalt, complete game, and Houston wins it in six. So I really think it's dependent upon the way that your club comes out the next day. I know that there's the cliche that it's all about your starting pitcher. I don't really buy that. I think it's the quality of the way that you begin the next game. And that includes the quality of the at-bats that you're throwing out there and also the way that your starting pitcher performs early on. I think last night I noticed a discernible difference in the atmosphere at Fenway once Bregman homered in the first inning. It just put a little bit of nervousness in the minds of the Red Sox fans. It was less of a party here at Fenway. Game 3 was a party. Game 4 was, I think, for the Red Sox fans, excruciating. It was a really close ball game for 8.5 innings. And I think that the way that game began with the Bregman homer helped his teammates relax. There's no question that moments, that postseason is a series of moments, as Freddie Garcia once told me, the great pitcher for the White Sox many years ago. It's a series of moments. And the Astros owned a couple more of the moments last night. Sometimes they're on defense, Jim, and we'll see who owns those moments early here in Game 5 this evening.
All right, John, so really quickly, one note on the way out the door. The Yankees announced that they agreed to an extension with Aaron Boone. You've made the point that the problems that the Yankees faced last season were not about him. So what are the problems, and how do you expect them to address them?
It's going to be shortstop. And I think that's something where Brian Cashman has said that he's going to go out there and get a shortstop. I agree with the decision to keep Boone. I think he did a very good job of managing a lot of the crises they dealt with. I think shortstop is the key position there. And the guy that I'm going to mention, Jim, that I'm going to predict will be a Yankee on opening day, Marcus Semien, who, with all apologies to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., might have been the MVP of the Toronto Blue Jays this season.
John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, NHL Network, friend of the program. And again, you can watch him across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight, which is airing live before and after every game, including on-site at the World Series. And he comes to us live from Fenway Park. John, appreciate it so much. Thanks, and great to have you back.
Always love our conversations, Jim. It's a glorious day at Fenway. I'm in full baseball romantic mood right now. I just love this time of year. It's incredible.
My man. Nice job, John. Appreciate it. Full baseball romantic mood. I get that. What's not to love about the game?